Lecture 18, who is in charge of my inner genius? Who is in charge of my inner genius, my unconditional love, my lack of possession, my self-dedication, self-determination, self-diligence, and self-discipline? I am the practitioner, the teacher, the guru, the master, God, lowercase God, of all. Each of my creation are the same. I create my creation knowing who and what it is. My world is filled with revealed, aware masters. Now this is some pretty nice stuff. When we think that we are the creators of our world, which already exists, and that we are in charge of our inner genius, and we're in charge of how we use unconditional love, how we use our lack of possession. We don't own anything, and yet everything is ours. We have self-dedication, self-determination, self-diligence, and self-discipline in everything that we do. I am the practitioner, the teacher, the guru, the master, God of all, and each of my creation are the same. I create my creation knowing who and what it is. My world is filled with revealed, aware masters. That's pretty powerful stuff. Are you in charge of everything that you have created? Are you in charge of the world that you have created? Are you in charge of all the circumstances that you have created? And by creating, that you have thought about and brought forth, it already exists. Every idea you have, every thought you have, every dream you have, every desire you have already exists somewhere. No matter what it may be, it already exists. It is you. And now, do you want it? Now, we have a little item here that our friend O.K. has been sharing from Louise May. And Louise Hay is a charming writer. She's been writing for many years, and writing in unity, writing in religious science, and writing in metaphysical circles, and has been covering many very beautiful things. Well, Mr. O.K. likes the thing in one area because of her topic on sexuality. And on her topic on sexuality, she says, we have gone through a revolution of anti-sex to sex and all that sort of thing, which happens really every generation or two. And in there, she seems to be saying that sex by any way and any purpose with any choice is okay. And this is not what she's saying. She's being a reporter. She's being a person who tells you what she has read about, what she knows about, what has happened historically during that period of time. And we have to be very careful when we read into a person like her. She is a very good woman, a nice woman, a thoughtful woman. She writes well, but she also writes in a manner that can be misunderstood. And we want to be very careful we don't misunderstand any of the stuff that we understood. We don't want to get ourselves caught in a dilemma there. And one dilemma might be, in the Muslim faith, having many wives is acceptable, and therefore the Muslims don't have to look around for multiple sexual experiences, as the generation just passed went through. But that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean it's wrong. That just means it's there. And that the Muslims do this is part of the tradition of their teaching and part of their way of looking at life. And it's not part of the way of all cultures to look at life. So each culture has to look at life from their point of view. Now, unless you can say for religious reasons you're doing certain things, it is not allowed by the law. It is not allowed by the community. And when you do it for religious purposes, then if you can show that this really is your religious purpose and your religious purpose is accepted by the state, then you're allowed to do it. But it's very cautious that they do this, because too often, like Miss Hayes here goes into her various descriptions, people are allowed to do things, and people do things, and they're breaking through. And remember these things that are broken through, they're also broken back to. You break out of being tied down, you break out of being legislated, you break out of rules and regulations, and you become free, and you have the ability to do things as you think you'd like to do it in a free way. And then, after a period of time, you go back to what you had done before, and you go back to what you had done before because what you had done before was more natural for the human society than the things that you had just broken free into being able to do. Now, I'm offering these suggestions to you because I have no opinion. I think if a world had circumstances where one man could have as many wives as he wanted and could afford and take care of and handle properly, great. If the world were made up of women who had as many husbands as they wanted, and one woman could have a dozen or more husbands, you know, if she could handle that, beautiful. Now, why is it these conditions exist as the way they do? It's because we have a fantasy about it, how nice it would be. Nothing in logic or reason tells us it, but the fantasy tells us that. And if our religion endorses it, whatever it endorses, the Mormons in Utah, Nevada, and so forth, they have multiple marriages. And that's understood. Another group of people up in Canada, the entire group go around naked year-round. And that's in Canada. That's up in the ice-cold area where it gets winter and snow and things like that. And they're amazing people. But is that what you want to do? And I offer the two alternatives, not because one is right and the other is wrong, or not because one is inviting and the other is not inviting. I offer it that this is a privilege that humanity goes through, is coming to the decision, what is it that is right for you? What is it that you believe in? And are you joining the Muslim or Mormon faith merely because you want the multiple marriages? And if you are in a member of those faiths and you then carry out whatever they allow, that's okay. You go for it. Enjoy it. I make no judgment. I make no opinion of it. And I will make this statement now. I make no judgment or opinion about anything because that's none of my business. I am not the one who's having many husbands or many wives or many husbands or many wives. Maybe I'm the one of many husbands of a wife. Wouldn't that be interesting? My goodness. The wife that I had, we were married 27 years and had a good relationship. Could she handle many men and me? Could I handle being one of many men in a family where the woman was the dominant one and I was to play a lesser role? Could I do that? It'd be interesting. I don't know. It would take quite a thing to do that. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up at all here is because it has come up that some of you are being aware of that. And be careful what you endorse, be careful what you encourage, be careful what you talk about, because you're liable to speak about something that might have repercussions for you in attitudes of people that might not be what you want. I would think that a Mormon and a Muslim with their multiple wives and the harems of India and what have you, I would think that any marriage where you have more than one mate to whatever the situation is, it is a very difficult thing to keep everybody happy without being lord over them. And man is not designed to be the lord over anybody except himself. And woman is not designed to be lord over anything except herself. And if a man lords it over a woman and says, you got to do this, you got to do this, and you know, just sort of is a very tough bird about it all, it makes for a very difficult relationship. And the woman is going to have physical, mental, and spiritual problems beyond imagination. And, of course, quite likely the man will end up that too, because he's putting causes in motion that are difficult for him. So, enough said on that. If any of you have a further comment, you're welcome to make it. But my point is, I'm not talking about it. I'm merely talking to say that if that is your culture, go for it. If it's not your culture and you become your culture because you want to go for it, be careful. Because maybe you're not having the mental, social, physiological aspect of your nature to handle it. To handle something like that is pretty tough. Can you imagine being the sheik of a harem and having 100 wives? Can there be any close interpersonal contact between those people other than sexual? No. Can one wife be the chief wife? Well, what's wrong with the other women? Why would women allow themselves to be in such a condition if it was not their choice? And you say, because it's just the way the culture is. And say, la vie. Okay. We're talking here about doing wonderful things. We're talking here about who is in charge of my inner genius, my unconditional love, my lack of possession, self-dedication, self-determination, self-diligence, and self-discipline. Who's in charge of that? I am. I'm in charge of all those things, and I'm in charge of it to the extent that I take charge. Now, do you want to be in charge of those things? Do you want to be in charge of who you are?
Yes.
If you want to be in charge, what do you do? Do you go out and buy a lot of cars because you want to be in charge of a large menagerie of cars? Once you get a lot of possessions, whether it is in children or wives or families or what, once you get a lot of possessions, they own you. They own you. You have to take care of them. You have to feed them, house them. You have to advise them. You have to teach them and train them and love them. You have to be with them. And there just doesn't, to me, seem like there's enough time to go around to do all that. But again, that's my personal lack of experience. You have within you this unconditional love. And this unconditional love makes me have the ability to love all of you unconditionally and not feel one sense of responsibility to you. I love you unconditionally, and if you don't do what I think you should do, I am untouched. I am untouched. I let you do whatever it is you want to do, and I'm untouched. If I am touched, then I'm not unconditional. And I want to be unconditional where I am not touched, where I can see each one of you doing whatever makes you happy, doing whatever delights you, doing whatever turns you on and just makes you feel 10 feet tall. Now, how does that happen? How can such a thing take place that you can feel so good? Well, you feel so good when you do one thing. And this is something we have denied ourselves from doing for a long time. What I recommend that you do is that you recognize that you are God. You know that you're God. And if you're God, all is in your world created as a joy for you. All is in your world created as a great experience for you. All is in your world created as love and peace and harmony. And none of it is yours to possess. All of it is yours to enjoy. All of it is yours to enjoy. When we talk about men and women, we talk about society, we talk about people, and we talk about them living together, and we talk about them having interplay, interaction between them, the first thing we run into is the rights of other people to be themselves and have fun. How can Seville have the right to be God, and I have the right to be God, and I am me as God, and she as God? How can we do that? How can we be friends? How can we know one another if I am God as me and she is God as her? Now, what's she going to try to do? Manipulate me? No. As God, she doesn't care. As God, she created me in her world as a loving person who shares ideas and shares thoughts and shares concepts and shares all that is good and beautiful, and the two of us just think that's a lovely way to go. Other people, I share concepts and thoughts too, and that's great. And a lot of people come to me and they have thoughts that they want to share with me that are not my thought, not my thing. And so I ask them a few penetrating questions and then they withdraw. Whenever anyone asks me about their philosophy and their way of life and how they should handle themselves, I ask them very pointedly, what would you like to do if you had the freedom to do whatever you had to do and you were not bound to anyone? What would you like to do? What would you like to do if you had the opportunity to walk any path of philosophy, any path of life, you had the money to travel the world and do anything? What would you like to do? And most of them don't know. But by the time they start thinking of the no, what it is just being themselves and having fun. That's what all of us want to do. We want to be ourselves and have fun. Now, okay here, he has his relationships, he has his marriage, his family, he has his world, and they're all quite lovely. He's got the package put together in a harmonious way for him. What if someone said to okay, I have a project and I would like you to consider running it for me? And you say, well, what is your project? Well, it's on the South Pole. Oh, on the South Pole? What do you want me to do? I want you to go down there and live for 10 years. You'll be in a very wonderful insulated building which is designed to keep you warm and cozy, and everything is in perfect order and you have no problem. There's fail-safe on the entire system. And I want you to be down there and observe everything that goes on, be aware of every little bit, and do whatever you want to do. So, okay, says, well, let's see, I got my family. I'd like to take them along. And they say, no, you can't do that because it's not for a family. There's nothing to entertain the children. There's not big enough area outside for them to go and play and do things. And there's no other children for them. So it's only for a few adults that we want to send down there who are mature enough to handle that environment. And we want to have you go. So he says, okay, I'll go. So he tells his wives and children that he's going. And they cry properly and were sad to see him go. And then he's gone. And all the money that he earns, he sends back to his family. And his wives take care of the money and decide how it's to be spent. And they spend it comfortably and nice. And so 10 years go by, and he comes home again. And he says to his families, oh, I missed you so. I'm really happy to be back. But my goodness, what an experience. And the families say, hi, how you doing? We love you. And he says, well, I see you've done some remodeling and new doors on the house, and you have this and here and that. Where's my key? And they say, well, we've decided that we don't want you in the family anymore. What? You don't want me in the family anymore? Why is that? And they said, because we have found out how nice it is just to be ourselves and do our own thing with not anybody telling us what to do. And he said, well, I don't tell you what to do. Oh, yes, you do. I don't tell you anything. No, you do. You really do. And so here he is, 10 years in Antarctica, and the Antarctic. And in the Antarctic, what's he doing? Freezing his toes off every time he walks out of the building. And so he comes back home to Nigeria, where it's pleasant and warm, and he's been frozen out of his home. Now, how does he handle this? How does he handle being put out of his home by his family because he left them alone for that period of time? How does he handle it? Well, the first thing he says, I am God. I'm in charge of my life. I'm in charge of my world. I am untouched by this experience. I am untouched by this experience. And then he says, okay, I have done it before and I can do it again if I want. I have another family or two or three as I please. And it's easy for me to do it. And then he says to himself, but the months that I spent down there without anybody telling me that what they needed anything or how anything should go, it was fantastic. Do I want to repeat that need situation that comes about from having a family? And so he's considering that. Now what's he doing? He is acting like God. He is acting like he is creating his world to be whatever he wants it to be. And if he wants it to be like it was, that can be done very easily. If he wants it to be new, that can be done very easily. He is now a free spirit. Why is he a free spirit? Because they closed the door. They said, we don't need a man in the house. We don't need a man in the house. And now he didn't say anything to them, and they didn't say anything to him. But they had taken all the money he sent back, and they fixed up the houses, and they put the money in a bank account in their names so that it would be available to them. Now, what's he going to do about this? That's pretty tough. He got shined out of his own property, out of his own bed. Well, if this were not what his choice was, it would not happen to him. If it was not his choice to start new, to have a new relationship, a new series of relationships, he wouldn't do that. He has chosen this, and it has come upon him. Well, I didn't really choose it. You did. So now he is still a handsome young man, and so he goes out looking for people to be happy with. And the whole world has a different attitude about things, and he has a different attitude. He has the attitude that being free, being untethered by anybody, is much more exciting and fun than being owned by somebody, being in the possession of somebody, being in the program of providing for families and for children and adults. And the whole new attitude came to him. Well, now all of his money went to his family, and they invested it, and they paid for things, and they had the lovely homes, and they had the insurance taken care of. It's all in their name. He doesn't have a thing to worry about, because it's out of his name. Now, is he divorced? No. So he still has to maintain them until he's divorced. Now he's going to have to maintain two families, and he's going to have to get divorced from two wives or more, whatever he has at the current moment. Now, what's going on in his world? What's going on in his world? What's going on in his world is he's waking up to being himself. We all get into circumstances at some point in our life that we think is so excellent, and then later we change our mind about it. Later we think, and then later we change our mind again because we don't want to mess up something we started. But these things take place. Now, do you think that that could happen in OK's life? I mean, he's a man of virtue, of standing. He's a man of quality. He's a man who knows what he wants. He's a man. Yeah, he understands where he's going in life and what happens to him. Here, his whole life gets tipsy-turvy. And he says, what happened to me? Why did this happen to me? And then he says, I know why it is. I'm ready for a change. I'm ready to be God Almighty. totally in charge of my world, totally in charge of my life, totally in charge of everything that I am. And as I'm ready to be totally in charge, I am totally in charge. You and I, that's who we are too. We're ready to be totally charged. We're ready to be totally masters, setting up a whole new program for ourselves. Can each of you leave your family behind? Can each of you leave your world behind? I'm not suggesting you do it, but I'm saying, academically, consider the possibility. What would happen if you did it? Would you be happy? Would you feel balanced? Would you feel good? Or do you like to have the loving relationship of a family? Do you like the loving relationship of a wife or husband? Do you like the loving relationship of life that is beautiful? Well, most people do. Most people do. But once you start tasting the idea that you are God, once you start tasting the idea and demonstrating it, because if you're down in Antarctica, there's not too much to amuse you. So you go into your meditation, you go into your introspection, and you start doing some pretty heavy-duty, beneficial introspection. And such a thing really changes your entire life. It changes your entire attitude. It changes everything. Now, it may change you to be a more compassionate, loving, caring individual. Or it may change you to be someone who is ready to be free. What should you do? How should you respond to that? Should you say, I want to be free? Or should you say, I now am doing my right thing. I like me. I like me just the way I am. I like me just the way I am. And when you start saying, I like me just the way I am, again and again and again, and you keep saying it and treating and saying it and treating, saying it and treating, something happens to you. A change takes place in you. And you become a far more compassionate, a far more delightful, a far more marvelous husband than you could ever have imagined you would be. You become a far more wonderful wife than you ever imagined you could be. All of the things in the past that disturbed you, now you realize they were your choice. And you now choose to be in paradise. And you choose to be in paradise by your mental thoughts, by your mental attitudes, and that's great. Now, if that is who you are, and if that's where you are, and if that's what you are, and that's why you are, then what do? You put a cause in motion. I like me. I like me. I like me. I like me. This is the sort of the, what do you call it, coconut oil. The coconut oil in the frying pan. It makes everything cook perfectly and beautifully. Okay. Then what happens next? Then you say, I'm God. All the time you're saying, I'm God. But then you say, I now am my ideal self doing my ideal program for myself. I am my ideal self doing my ideal program for myself. I'm my ideal self doing my ideal program for myself. Then what would happen? What would happen at a time like that? All the doors would open up for you to do anything you want to do. All the doors would open up for your infinite abundance. All the doors would open up for all the things you'd like to do. Not things that you have to do to exist, but things that you like to do that turn you on and make you happy. Now, some of you feel running after the political trail is a fascinating thing to do. That working with politics is fascinating and wonderful and rewarding. Well, if it is, and if that's who you are, then you say, I am, whatever your job is, the most excellent political analyst or advisor or promoter or whatever your job is. I'm the best that there is. I'm the best that there is. I'm the best that there is. And just go crazy. Just go crazy. I'm the best that there is. If your job is to be a wife, then you say, I am the most wonderful wife in the universe. I'm the most wonderful wife in the world. I am the most fabulous wife that ever existed. I like being a wife. Being a wife gives me the feeling that I'm enjoying everything. I am the greatest wife, and I'm appreciated by my husband, my family, my children, my world. I am the greatest wife in the world. Is your mother the greatest mother in the world?
Yes.
Yes, you betcha. Why can you say that? Because it's so. Does she make you happy?
Yes.
Does she fulfill your needs?
Yes.
Is she always there for you?
Yes.
Does she care for you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a good start. Now, you could go on and... do you mind, Mary? Do you mind? Do you mind?
No.
No.
I love it.
No. And Tex? Yes. Do you like it?
Yes.
Who's Tex? You.
Okay.
You political analyst or whatever, do you like it?
Okay.
Is that you?
Yes.
Are you doing what turns you on?
Excellent.
And do you have the opportunity to change that at any time you want without thinking that you're running away from something?
This is true.
Right. And what about Mr. O.K. who left us now for a moment? Is he happy doing what he's doing?
Yes.
He is.
He's here?
He is.
Is he happy doing what he's doing?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
Why do you say that? What makes you feel you have a right to say that? What makes you feel you got a right to say that?
He has choice.
Huh?
He has choice.
This is reflection.
Come?
He has choice.
Choice.
His choice.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not his choice. He's happy in it.
Yes.
He is happy in his choice. That makes you feel that he is happy doing what he's doing.
Yes.
Are you happy in your choice?
I'm happy. Yes.
I am. Yes. Yes. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yes.
Yes. When you come home, does your wife dance to the door and say, "Sweetheart, why did you wait a second at the car before you walked in?" And you say, "Well, sweetheart, I waited at the car for a second before I walked in because I had to get my energy at the peak level to receive your love and to give your love." And she says, "Oh, I like that." Now, what did we say about Mr. O.K. here? Did we say he is the ideal man?
Yes.
Yes.
The ideal husband?
Yes.
Is everything in this world reflecting who he is?
Yes.
Yes.
What the world thinks of the ideal man and the ideal world?
Yes.
And is everyone in the world harmonious with his choices in his marriage?
Yes.
Good. It's true. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe in who we are. And when we believe, then it's great. Okay? Are you ready? Are you ready to believe in yourself? Do you believe in your dad?
Yes.
Is he a great guy?
Yes.
Your dad. Not your mom. We've already done your mom. Do you believe in your dad?
Yes.
Is he a great guy?
Yes.
Does he have as nice a teeth as you do?
Yes.
Smile once so we can see your teeth. Let's see your teeth, kid.
Yeah.
Mr. Dyke?
Jeez.
Your teeth. Thank you. Yeah, you guys, good teeth like your kid. Yeah, that's great. You created your father with a good set of teeth, and that's a good idea. Now, do you like your dad too, kids?
Hmm?
Yes. You think your dad's okay? You're going to keep him?
Yes.
Yeah. What are you going to have him do? What kind of games do you like to play that he plays with you? Does he play any games with you at all?
Yes.
What game does he play?
Ludo.
Bludo?
Ludo, yes.
What's Bludo?
Ludo.
Dice.
Black.
Dice.
Darts?
Dice.
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 Dart.
Dice.
No. D-I-C-E.
Oh, dice.
Yes.
Dice. Like dyke. Dice. Okay. Dice, dyke. Dyke plays dice. And are you any good at dice, Mr. Dyke?
Yes.
Who's saying that?
Me.
You?
Yeah,
I thought maybe somebody else said it.
No.
Who you run one from.
Yes.
But you're pretty good. Is your dad pretty good at dice?
Yes.
Do you play dice?
Yes.
Does he teach you how to gamble?
They
know
it. Yes.
No?
No. They know it.
They're learning?
They know it.
They know it?
Yes.
Oh, I see. They're teaching you.
No.
No. Now, why are these kids as good as they are? Why are these kids so wonderful?
They're wonderful.
Hmm?
They are wonderful because they know who they are.
There. Because they know who they are.
Yes.
Now, how did they learn who they are? Oh, you got another kid there too.
Yes.
Tucked away. How did they learn who they are? How did they learn who they are?
They know.
You taught them. You were a living example of who they are. Are you?
I know who I am.
I hope to kiss a pig.
So they know who they are.
They know who they are. All right, young lady, do you know who you are?
Yes.
Who are you? Are you Miss Iffy?
Yes.
Is that a good name? Yes. Is that name had by a beautiful young lady? Yes. That's you, right?
Yes.
Right? Who would ever call anybody Iffy? I-F-Y, huh? They must love them very much to call them that. Because everybody who comes up to you and say, Iffy, oh, what a lovely name, what an easy name. Hey, that's fantastic. Iffy, are you beautiful? Yes. Iffy, are you intelligent? Yes. Iffy, are you great? Yes. And you just shine forth. You can do that, huh? Okay, now we pretty well handled the okays and the dikes. And who else did we handle here? Anybody? Did we handle our friend over here, Manuel? No, I guess Manuel is in a different world. He's on a different conversation, which happens now and then. Okay, any more questions or any more comments on this? Have you understood we did not make any judgments? We merely recognize that each is doing their ideal program now and having their ideal relationship now, and it is done. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. All right, now, so let's let this alone, and let's stop, and at 6 o'clock we're supposed to have our meeting between
yes.
1 and 1.
Yes.
Okay, so now, let's come back here at 25 to 6, and then we'll have a discussion on anything and everything under the sun without hesitation or reservation. You with me?
Yes.
Okay, I love you.
I love you.